carrying on from last week. Just to summarize some of the things which I said so that you know where we are now. I mentioned firstly that it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct and admonish people's mistakes. Why? Because all the Quran is either telling you of enjoining good to you, or is forbidding evil actions for people. So all the Quran is proof of the, that it is sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's correct. And I also went into some detail that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu regarding different mistakes they made for our benefit. If they hadn't made such a mistake, then how would have been known that what were the commands regarding those things? So it was for our benefit. The Quran is on more than 20 places, you can say, very prominent places. It covers that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even guided the prophets and the messengers to a better life. I've given you an example of many before as well. Today I will just take one example and then we will go on into detail of the methodology of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So firstly, let me first cover that what topics we are going to discuss in the first 2 or 3 weeks. Some of the points we will be referring to the ahadith relating to these points. So the first point which we'll be covering is the sincerity in relation to Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So we will be referring to some of the ahadith which are directly related to this topic. Secondly, we will be referring to the knowledge which one requires in order to enjoin good and forbid evil, so that it is not that one happen not to like something by chance and then he begins to admonish and to criticize people. So we will be going into the detail of that. Thirdly, third point which we will be covering in light of a hadith will be to understand that making mistake is human nature. And what Prophet ﷺ has given guidance on that human nature. And one should be taking that into consideration. Fourthly, seriousness of mistake also should be taken into consideration. So it is not with one hand and everything you do. But the seriousness of is the mistake relating to aqidah, is it relating to the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it relating to a particular amal, or is it whatever it is. Fifthly, taking into account the position of oneself and also the other person. So a father or a sheikh or a prophet can say things which other you cannot say to other people. Who are your equals? So taking into position of yourself, what is your status, your position in relation to that person, and what is his position? Chota hai, bada hai, student hai, read hai, is he equal to you, etc. So going into a bit of detail, just we'll be discussing only relating to one hadith for each of them. Few for some of them. Sixthly, we will be covering making distinction between who errs, who commits a mistake or a sin without knowledge and who knowingly commits an act. Isme bhi farak hai. So we in relation to hadith, we will go into detail in the hadith that how Prophet ﷺ kept this distinction, that who a person who commits sin or makes mistake without knowledge and person who does it with knowledge inspired by. Seventh, distinction between who makes mistakes which stem from honest effort. Sometimes a person has not have done a good effort, made an honest effort, but it has been in the wrong direction. So how should one deal with that person? In respect to the other person who have actually done the same mistake but intentionally. Number eight, good intention on the part of who makes mistake does not mean that he should not be rebuked. There is a hadith relating to it, which will be inshallah covered in detail. So if someone says, I had good intention, but he has made a mistake, so how to deal with that person, how to correct that person? Should you just leave him, or should you, what is the way to leave him? Then we will be covering that how the Prophet ﷺ guided his ummah and the people who, the preachers of Islam, to be fair and not being biased when correcting mistakes. So if one person does mistake, you become very angry. And if same mistake is committed by another person, you turn a blind eye on it, etc. And again, understanding human nature from which mistakes spring. And also, the first was also understanding that making mistakes is human nature. Secondly, understanding the human nature from which mistakes spring. So from which weakness did the mistakes stem out from? One is general human nature, like human makes mistakes. The other is that from which weakness, so that you know the cause. Number 11, making distinction between mistakes that concern yourself only and the mistake for the sin which also affect other people. So there should be a clear distinction. For example, if someone is not praying, the woe, that person is harming himself. But if he is not giving zakah, he is also violating the right of Allah and the right of the servant as well. Koi roza nahi rakhta, to wo is tarah ka mistake temple which affect other people will experience harmful effect of it. In mistake only the harmful effect of it, they are confined to the mistaker or the sinner only. So distinction between. Number 12, we are making distinction between major and minor mistakes according to the hadith of Prophet ﷺ. Like Islam has made a distinction between major and minor sin. One should also not with the same effort and the same technique is not used for both of them. And also, Prophet ﷺ, through the guidance and the study of the hadith, one can know that Prophet ﷺ guided us to make distinction between a person who has a track record of good deeds and then he makes some mistake, and a sinner who has transgressed many times in the past. That should also be taken into consideration. 14, making distinction between who makes mistake openly and blatantly, openly means in the public, who does not care who is looking or not, and one who tries to cover his mistake. One who tries to cover his mistake, who has done a sin in seclusion. So there are different rules with dealing with that person and a different rule with dealing with the other person who openly and blatantly does commit sin and mistake. And also rebuking youngster in accordance with the manner appropriate to the child's age. So age is also a factor. One should take into consideration when saying something. It's not simply you know it's wrong and just say the same thing to different people in different ages. For a child, it will be different. For an elder, it will be different. And exercising extreme caution when advising non-mahram women, so it's not taking wrong. This will go into a little detail when we cover this topic. But basically, one should not really get into this. People have caused themselves more harm than benefit. This job should be left for the people who are fit for this job, elderly people or from the, if there is an Islamic government from that point of view. And so don't go with good intention. Advise non-mahram that I am advising them on Islam or I am just in Amal bin Maruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. Okay, Mare Bhagavan ne ye bhi farmaya ki Islam karne mein bhi agar khatra samjho, do not say Islam to non-mahram. If there is danger of fitna. So exercising caution and advising non-mahram. Number 17, not occupying oneself with the symptoms of the mistake or the sin only all the time. But if you keep cutting the branches, they will reappear again. While you neglect the cause of it. Also to look and penetrate your eyes and your sight, you penetrate why I think this person is doing this. Not only what that he has done the mistake, this might be a symptom. And the cause might be something else. So one should address the cause as well. Another number 18, another important point which we'll be covering is not exaggerating mistakes of people. Keep them to whatever they've done. Not exaggerating, making mountain of it. Because that does not help. Number 19, allowing enough time for correcting the mistakes as well. So this is from relating from teacher and student, sheikh and disciple of you and other people as well. That understand that sometimes there is some time required for correcting some mistake and one should allow that as well. And not after one has said to them and then every minute you keep actually admonishing them. And lastly, not making the mistakes feel or the person who have committed a sin, or person who have committed, who have done a mistake, do not let him or her feel like enemy of yourself. Because your aim is to correct people, not to score points against them and to elevate yourself. Maksad to hai, unki behtari, falah o bahu, unki khair, the main is to correct people. So do not let them feel that they are enemy of you, because then you will do more harm than benefit. These are the points which are we will cover before, and then there are about, we go into detail of methodology of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is separate topic, that is not this one. This is just the prerequisites which one should have to enjoying good and correct mistake. And then we go into the methodology, and there are about 30 or so techniques, less or more, a little bit less or more, 30 such methods which Prophet ﷺ has taught us through different hadith, which we can learn from as well. So they are separate, these 20 are separate. So these 50, about 50 points actually, it is preferred at least one has a good grasp of these things, then one can say that one is in a position really to enjoin good and forbid evil, and it will again will be to the discretion of that person how he uses all these information. But when he makes mistakes, he will learn under the guidance. So that is why from Awliya Allah and the teachers and the mashayikh, one can learn many things how they do. So So I have actually just given you an introduction of the first part which we will be covering, the prerequisites, and then the second part will comprise of the methods which practically Prophet ﷺ used. So we will be reading hadith, and then we will be deducing and attaining enlightenment from them. So there are 50, and then there are 3 points which I have just other than inshallah I mentioned here. So, aaj waqt kam hai, but inshallah I will. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's method, last time I mentioned to you that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected the angels when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something which appeared in their mind and in their heart about Adam alayhi salam. And I also mentioned to you that this is a very good thing what angels did. It's not a bad thing what angels did. But they did that a waswasa appeared in their mind and they passed into their mind and they actually straightforwardly mentioned it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I also mentioned to you that Shaitan, on the other hand, did not. He also had a disbasa that Adam alayhi salam, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam? Same thing appearing in him as well. Same thing the angels are saying that we are enough for worship. Same thing Shaitan is saying that I am better for worship to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more or less, there is no difference in the objection they had. But the approach of both of them were different. Angels became very simple, and as they are angels, they displayed waswasa in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them in such a nice way that he said, look, these are the things, names of all things. Not name a few things, worldly things appeared in front of them. Adam and Islam nominated them, all of them. And the angels could not. So Allah SWT explained to them. But Shaitan actually to the last stage. So this was waswasa appeared in the angels when Adam and Islam was never given, began to be created. Allah SWT is saying that I wish. And Shaitan was listening to that as well. But he actually kept that waswasa in his heart, in his up to the last stage when Allah Ta'ala gave him the command, the prostrate in front of Allah. And then he came up. So do not let this happen to you. If you have any waswasa about something, present it to your teacher, present it to your sheikh, or if you have about another brother, present it to him. He will eliminate that. Most of the time it's just a misconception. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the story of still carries on with Adam alayhi salam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salam, when they ate the forbidden tree, the fruit of the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam anhaakuma antilkum shajarat wa kullakuma inna shaitana lakum aduwwun mubeen. Did I not ask you, order you to abstain from this tree? And I mentioned to you also that Shaitan is your. So this means, although Adam alayhi salam knew all this, but sometimes it is benefit for the person who has committed a sin or committed a mistake that you refresh his memory about the harmful effects of that sin, that mistake. That will create humbleness and humility in that person, yes. Like it happened with Adam alayhi salam. So what was their answer? Qala rabbana zalamna anfusana. We have wronged ourselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that after someone is sincere, he depends sincerely with you. No matter how much mistake, big mistake they have done, especially about personal mistake they have committed against you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَعَبَ عَلَيْهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself revealed the word through which they could repent. So this means that if a person, a student, another person, another brother, have realized his mistake and is very shameful and feels remorse, then help him not only forgive him, but help him as to come out of that, as much as you can. Either it can be financial help, either it can be just a motivational, psychological help, etc. So I mentioned some of the other things as well. Today I would just like to highlight another incident from the Quran and from the Dhawalla Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's method of correcting and guiding his prophet. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the most honorable messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is from the Ulul Azm. لیکن سب رسولوں کی بہت شان ہے لیکن ان میں سے پانچ جو ہیں وہ اولو العزم کہلاتے ہیں the most held in esteem very high most of them and amongst them is سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام standing in the gathering of Bani Israel ummah hundreds of people thousands of people And like when we go to our mashayikh and scholars, we ask questions, you ask questions to me, I ask questions to you. So some of them, one of them said, it is come, this is a hadith mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. But the incident mentioned in the Quran, that's what I am referring to. One person asked Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that, oh messenger of Allah, oh Musa, That who is the most knowledgeable person on the earth, on the face of the earth now? That's a very strange question. It was straightforward. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam knew that he is the messenger of the time. He is not a normal messenger. He is from Ulul Azm, Kaleemullah, with Allah baat karte hain. اللہ پاک کلام فرماتے ہیں جس کے ساتھ تو ہم اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ کمیونیکیٹ ڈائریکٹلی اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ سپیکس ڈائریکٹلی سچ میسنجر تو سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام سیڈ آنسر دیم دیٹ آئی تھنک اٹس می دا موسٹ نالجبل پرسن آن ارتھ اینڈ آبویسلی ہی واز ناٹ انٹرو ان دیٹ Because he thought that he is the messenger, the Rasool hai. So this mein humare liye jo hai, wo bohut badi ibrat hai. Rasool par wahi aa rahi hai, Torat aa rahi hai. He is direct student of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he said that, I am the most knowledgeable person on earth. So this means that the message, the where does the knowledge originate from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes on the messenger. And the messenger's job is to convey the message, convey the knowledge. So the knowledge actually first will come into the messenger and then actually it will be spread into the people. It will spread amongst the people. اسی لیے لوگوں کو پتہ چلے گا کہ پہلے تو رسول ہی پر علم نازل ہوتا ہے رسول کا تو کام ہی یہ ہوتا ہے کہ نبی وٹ ایوری رسول از نبی نبی مین دا پرسن ہو گیوز نیوز آف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ سو ہز جاب از اونلی ٹو کنوے دا میسج آل دا نالج کمز ٹو ہم فرسٹ سو سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام سے ویری سمپلی اٹ از می When said, people were quiet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and said, O Musa, that my servant, one of my servants has more knowledge than you. And it does not befit you to say what you have said. You should have attributed the knowledge to me that Allah knows best. Imagine Allah. And one is our state, ki hame jab koi masla poochta hai, and I, to me you ask, and I say, if I am not able to answer, mera status kam ho jayega. Somehow, from here and there, we will answer. And never say how easy it is to attribute the knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than you don't. Even if you read the books of the great scholars, after what they say and when they answer, they again at the end always say, Wallahu A'lam, that Allah has the most knowledge and He knows better. So when Sayyidina Musa was mentioned this fact by revelation, that they are, so Musa realized that he had done a mistake in this fact actually of this question. So Musa look, this is the humbleness and this is the selflessness of the Prophet. He never said this out of ujub, or out of kibr, out of arrogance, out of proudness. Nabi to masoom hota hai. It was just the word he selected. They were genuine. Why? He was truthful. He was saying from the point of view that whatever knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conveying to me as being messenger, I am the most knowledgeable of that. That's the personality he asked. But because he said, answered generally that I am the most knowledgeable, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in all knowledge you are not most knowledgeable. You should have confined yourself actually to that also in words. So although he meant, Musa alayhi meant what he said, he meant the same thing that in the knowledge of Risalat and everything I am, but the words were selected as Musa alayhi selected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that is why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, that do not say about any brother, any Muslim, that he is very pious person, or he is very bad person. Because you are referring the matter to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say he is very honest person and he is very pious person. Why you are referring to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, you should say that in my opinion, main samajhta hoon ki wo nek banda hai, mere ilm ke mutabik. Aise na kaho ki wo nek banda hai. This means that in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet said that do not say like this, but to say that in my opinion, in my knowledge, that person, that brother is pious person. In my knowledge, according to my knowledge, that brother is, has this thing or this quality. Do not actually say a categorical, absolute statement. So same case was here for them. So Musa alayhi salam's reaction was not very humble, was not that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am the Rasul of the time, how can someone be more knowledgeable than me? Bhai, main to Rasul hoon, jaise main bahut bada alim hoon, mujhe sabse zyada pata hai, I have the best teacher, I have the best teacher. But his reaction that when a mistake is realized, even though it might not be a serious mistake, the etiquette is, if you want to attain goodness, is to become humble and ask that person, how I can correct this mistake, so that you can benefit. If Musa alayhi salam wouldn't have said this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have not guided him further. So, but the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopted to correct the mistake of Sayyidina, or to guide him to more perfection, you can say, the Prophet do not commit sin and they are masoom from minor and major sins before Nabuwa, before the claiming of Nabuwa, and after the announcement of Nabuwa, they are free from all kinds of sin. And these are just things that for their perfection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be the highest climax, which is possible. So, perfect. And to teach a lesson to other people as well. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to prophets like this, then how should I be relating, answering? How should I be seeing myself? How should I be looking at my knowledge? So, Allah, so what is the methodology Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first said to Musa, I have another person who have more knowledge than you. And Musa alayhi salam's reaction on the other hand was very humble and he asked forgiveness and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not saying that I am messenger, why do I need to go to someone? Ek bande ilm hasil kar liya 7 saal 8 saal madrasse mein padh liya, for example 8 years or whatever, to aap kahe main jo kisi ke paas jaun, Why should I go to someone to learn or to actually attain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This person should think that what about 8 years or the knowledge that you have attained from a few years study, and what on the other hand is the status of prophethood and messengership. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, so the method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopted for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is to visit that person, a pious person. So this is tarbiyah, this is training. So when we say that yes, one cannot reform oneself, where does this originate from? This originates from the Quran, from this story. Musa alayhi salam, at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to him that you, I have more personal knowledge of you. Even Musa alayhi salam was happy and pleased with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him. Later, to achieve the same training, like Brother Anwar was saying before, that when some mashayikh send some disciple that you go and do this, you go and do this, you go and do this, and sometimes they are very oblique and awkward things which might not seem beneficial to that person apparently, but they are beneficial towards the end result. So the method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopted here with Musa alayhi salam to practice and to bring him to more perfection, he said, visit one of my servants, which was Hazrat Sayyidina Ahmad Khidr alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam traveled with one of his disciples and his students to the long story mentioned in the Quran, and he went there and actually passed Islam, and he lived for some time with Sayyidina Khidr al Islam, and he asked him very simply that I came here so that you can teach me some of the knowledge which I do not have. And Sayyidina Khidr al Islam laid down the conditions. So this means that a person who goes to learn, and specifically any person, he should first, not think about his status. I might be a very rich person. I might have great knowledge. But when I go for tarbiyat, then ye nahi, I should not take my status into consideration. Ke main ye go, forget about everything and listen to the other person. So Sayyidina Musa has come very simply. Never mentioned that I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am this, and I speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so and so. That aside mentioning, I see this dream and I have done this, and I have done that, and I did this. Mentioning these things are nothing. So if one wants training, then completely forget about your own self. And be like a dead body in the hand of another person. So Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, you will not be able to be patient. Musa alayhi salam said, inshallah, I will try my best. And similarly, the story carries on until then separation occurred between them. But the point I am trying to make to you, that how was the method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopted? This was the method of suhba. And to be with a person, a human being, to attain more perfection, and to gain more knowledge and closeness and wisdom, and to understand the wonders of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ye ek Allah ta'ala ye bhi method hai. So this is sunnah as well, that's by awliya Allah and anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam has always said about the nature of the good companionship, and especially the sabr or the ihsan, or to achieve taqwa, it is utmost important, the sohba, and then to also abide by the laws and etiquettes of that sohba. We think of Musa alayhi salam, only 3 times he said Musa alayhi salam, what did wrong did Musa alayhi salam do? Jab unhone kaha kyun bacche ko qatl kiya, did he do something wrong? No, he was acting upon his wahi. Still command, but because it is now against the knowledge of Khidr al-Islam, so Khidr al-Islam still is objecting, why you are saying this to me? So this means a person sometimes apparently knows you, something might seem very right to you, but the Shaykh or the Murshid is saying that this is wrong. And you might think, oh, I know Hadith, I know Quran, he said this, not that. There you go. Because on the first hand, you shouldn't have given him your hand if you had this doubt. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Ridha alayhi salam said, now if you will say it again to me this, I will not let you accompany myself. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did not say anything wrong. He just said that the rule which they said that we will follow, the etiquette adab, and then separation occurred. Long story, inshallah, inshallah, sometime I'll mention to you in detail. And the wisdom in that incident and story, or the how the Sufi Ali Islam has deduced and some of the spiritual benefits from that story of Sayyidina Musa Ali Islam. But the important point here, which I am trying to emphasize, that when Musa Ali Islam did not stick to the conditions set by Sayyidina Ali Islam, there occurred a separation. So this means that a person, when even you come to go to a person like Khidr, like our tariqa is actually also the Khidr al-Islam, the founder, or you can say the initiator of tariqa Muhammadiyya is Hazrat Khidr. That's why in the books it is mentioned as Khidriya. In the books if you find, you will also find in the name of, if you read the Mishayikh, the history of this tariqa, especially Sayyid Abdul Jabbar, you will find name, people know it by name Khidriya, because Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam was the initiator to Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Jabbar as well, in this sense. So, Khidr alayhi salam laid down here. Can you imagine the status of Khidr alayhi salam then? Can you just imagine how blessed and how honorable he was? That is why he also initiated Sayyidina Sayyid Abdul Aziz Jabbar as well. Because at one time he was guiding the will of Allah from Musa alayhi salam. Then he guided Khidr as Sayyid Abdul Aziz Jabbar in the beginning. So, the conditions which they both agreed on, when those were not met, they occurred a separation. Similarly, in this tariqa, I tell you again and again, what happened? Musa alayhi salam went to his own place, Khidr alayhi salam disappeared somewhere else. And Musa alayhi salam was still a messenger, he was still a Rasul, he was still acting upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he still was the close of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson here is, the last lesson here briefly is, because when the conditions are set, when the rules are laid down, if you will not follow the rule, if you will not follow the rule, then there will be separation. By separation necessarily does not mean only physical separation, that the shaykh will say that throw him out of my business, I don't want to keep him. The separation might be spiritual, in the spiritual sense. A person staying there, but there is spiritually there is separation, because that person is not following the rule set, the rule of the game or the rule of the tariq, which are set over and the people who have promised something, so at least they should keep to them the minimum standards between China. Then there will be a spiritual separation. The teacher might not expel the students physically, but Ruhani, spiritually he feels that he will be not benefiting at all. And why he is not benefiting? The barrier is himself, and he is not abiding by the rules. Why would Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam not take Musa alayhi salam further? But also he has objected, he is a messenger. Let me actually show him other things as well. Doesn't matter. No. Like this you cannot carry on. Everything has rule, the Sharia has rule. So always keep, there is a strong lesson. The method of Allah Subhanahu very simply, first to inform Musa alayhi salam for perfection. So some of the time the Shaykh, for example, or the student or the teacher would say to a student who does not lack something, but he wants him to be more perfect. He might say that you are not doing this. and you should buy yourself this. And he might think that I am doing very correctly in this thing. There is no deficiency in me. By Sharia, by Tariqa, I am doing it. Why then my Murshid, my teacher is saying this to me? Well, if he thinks like this, then he will actually fall. He will remain in that state. But he should know that he, that the Murshid or the teacher, the Ustad wants him to elevate more and achieve more perfection. So many countless lessons in that story. But this was also one of these methodologies where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing the person as well to achieve more perfection and then advising the sohbah as well, spiritual sohbah and training. And then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expected Musa alayhi salam to abide by Khidr alayhi salam, was expecting from Musa alayhi salam to be abide the rules he set, actually, to attain more closeness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wonders, one has to sacrifice something, to hold one thing. So why did Musa alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi salam set this condition to Khidr Musa alayhi salam, that you should not ask me, you should not do any objection? Why did this? This was because Prophet should not commit mistakes and sins. So he could never say that Musa alayhi salam, you should be with me only because the condition is that you do not commit any sin. You do not commit any major or any minor sin, na'udhu billah. You should, the condition is you should never lie. He could not say anything like this. Because Musa alayhi salam was already a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he set a condition from himself that do not object on me, what I do. So similar is the case when the Mashaikh spiritually show people through the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted them with it. And when the person or the disciples start objecting, it stops completely then. The barrier comes at finish. Many people, they were highly, very spiritually first, and they reaching the books, and they were reaching very, very high level. But when they either actually disobeyed the Mashayikh or actually violated the condition, they came back on their place like shaitan. Zameen par jahan se chale the, wahin aa gaya. 11 baje hum aaye. Haan, to theek hai, hum yahan khatam karte hain, and inshaAllah. We will cover some of the things next time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.